This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Bing Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenizer Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Ball to third. Ramirez will go to the bag for the force play, and that will end it. So the Indians walk out with a series victory, very surprisingly, 14-9, the final score here in the finale.
It was one of those that actually felt weird because it was the worst case scenario, you know, like we were down pitching wise and we kept scoring and you feel like, oh God, you know, like we have a shot, but like Tito used to say, you can't be chasing wins, you know, you got to be careful with that because then if you do that, you know, you feel like you're 4 runs down and you feel like you can come back and use your big boys, then you're gonna pay the price the next 7 days. So you have to be disciplined, and we did tonight.
All right, that's the final call. The Red Sox 14-9 loss to the Cleveland Indians last night over at Fenway Park, followed by manager Alex Cora, painting a bit of a grim picture of how things went for this team in that one, essentially saying, hey, we were in it. Can't chase wins. That's what Tito used to say. It's what Terry Francona used to say. You gamblers know you shouldn't chase. That's where you know you're in trouble. But no, you can't chase because we were hitting, but hey, what the hell are we going to do? Our starter was Ryan Weber. We give up 14 runs on 18 hits. It is what it is. Not great. Welcome to the Baseball Reporters here on 98.5, a Sports Hub tonight. No Tony Maserati, who normally hosts this show. He had to bounce early, so you have me, Jim Murray, here with you for the next hour. Where I should have been leading you into game one of Red Sox-Yankees and what turned looks like, to me, an enormous four-game weekend series with New York if the Red Sox have any hope of actually winning the American League East. But tonight's game has been rained out. It's going to be made up as part of a doubleheader on August 3rd. But despite the rainout, I still do want to preview that series and actually look at what the Yankees have been doing and the way that they've been playing despite all their injuries, best team in baseball record-wise. I also want to touch on the horrible situation I mentioned in Houston last night. If you don't know, a little girl was struck by a foul ball, hospitalized. I feel like these stories have been happening more rapidly in recent years, and they shouldn't be. I think it's more of a case to be made to have netting going from foul pole to foul pole, but we'll get to that later. And any of that stuff. Before we get to any of it, I actually want to go back and talk about the two Red Sox losses that took place over the last couple of nights at Fenway to what was previously a reeling Cleveland Indians team that they've breathed life back into, by the way. Because these losses, they're worth discussing. And collectively, I don't think we've had much of an opportunity to really do so last couple of nights. And understandably, what is going on with the Boston Bruins and all the Stanley Cup final coverage. Like, we haven't had a chance to talk about these losses. Because if you haven't been paying attention the last couple of nights, you might not realize how putrid, absolutely putrid, these losses to Cleveland were. And if you weren't paying attention, again, your focus has been on the Bruins, I wouldn't blame you. But if you paid for, specifically if for those of you, the Red Sox fans that like paid for tickets and you went to these games and you froze your asses off at Fenway for either of them, especially Tuesday night's loss, the Red Sox really ought to give you a refund or tickets to a future game. They were that bad. If you were there, you watched, you know, they were awful. Tuesday night's loss specifically, worst of the year. Period. End of story. The worst. The worst. And quick synopsis of it, for those of you that haven't been paying attention, a wasted gem of a start by David Price, given away by multiple members who reside on the wheel of gutless bums, otherwise known as the Red Sox bullpen. Specifically, Ryan Brazier, who was obviously a factor for them in their run to the World Series championship last year, he has turned into a pumpkin. And he took part of a 5-run ninth inning. They lose that one 7-5, and it wasn't just that implosion. You look at that bullpen, it was a microcosm of what their issues have been this whole season. And you real stat nerds that have called the show when I'm sitting here with Maz and want to talk about, you know, the strikeout ratio and war and things of that nature and say, well, no, they're still one of the better bullpens in the American League. They're one of the better bullpens. No. Just use your eyes. They've been walking a tightrope with this collection of stiffs that they have there outside of Matt Barnes, who I think, still, even he is inconsistent, this was going to happen. It's unfortunate that what ended up happening was a microcosm of all of it in just one night in a matter of just a few innings. Seven walks and one hit batter in the three innings that they used the bullpen. It shouldn't, that shouldn't happen. But this is this is what they get. They went into the season knowing what they had. And in a lot of ways, how that game played out, it's what they deserve. They don't have a real closer. It should have been Barnes, we thought. It should have been Brazier, we thought. And I can't put too much, personally, I can't put too much blame on Alex Cora because he's just playing the hand that he's dealt. These guys are what they are. And what happened on Tuesday is indicative of what these guys are as pitchers. They're not very good, but awful, absolutely awful loss. And then last night, you have something called Ryan Weber making the start. He gets clobbered, and you still have stiffs coming out of the bullpen. They lose 14-9. As Alex Cora, you know, talked about at the top of the show there in that clip, you can't chase. We were hitting the cover off the baseball, but what are we supposed to do? And as I mentioned, the thing that's maybe overlooked with these two losses is they really helped breathe life into the Cleveland Indians, is what's happened. Because going into this, the Indians were a 500 ball club. I'm reading articles about how the Indians are likely to be sellers at the trade deadline because, well, the Minnesota Twins have been one of the best teams in baseball, at least one of the best hitting teams in baseball, and they're not going to be able to chase them. So look at the Indians as maybe being sellers at the deadline, and maybe that can still happen. But what happened over the last few nights, here's some numbers to prove. Like, they're now factoring into the wild card race, where I think the Red Sox are really going to end up having a focus unless they somehow sweep the Yankees with this weekend series that was supposed to start tonight. But just looking at the Indians and how bad they were going into this series that just happened. In the seven games prior, the Indians scored 19 total runs. They were 1-6 in those games. They just hit their first triple last night in that game that they ended up having 18 hits in. So again, 19 runs in their prior seven games of that Red Sox series, 1-6. The three games against the Red Sox where they go 2-1, they scored 26 runs, including 21 in nine consecutive innings. This bullpen just breathed life back into the Indians. Now they could be a factor for the wild card, which I think is what the Red Sox are going to end up having to have their sights on. They have to me. I haven't gone, if you've listened to Felger Mavs with any regularity, I've said for a while, I've had this team buried. I thought their awful start to April, I said, nope, they're not going to end up making the playoffs. Well, you still look at the landscape of the American League, they're probably going to end up playing for the wild card. But to me, the division at 7.5 back right now, going into this Yankee series, where I don't really expect that they're going to take 3 or 4 or even sweep the damn thing, you can forget about the American League. You can forget about winning the American League East, rather. You can forget about winning the division. It's about the wild card now, unless they somehow sweep. But I'm sorry, the division, I think that ended for this team 30 days ago, as of May 1st. 617-779-0985 is the phone number if you'd like to discuss your Boston Red Sox and these hideous losses the last couple of nights to a previously dead Cleveland Indians team. More numbers, too, that just do not benefit this team and how that they've been since May 1st, 13-17 at the beginning of the month. I've brought some of this stuff up before in the afternoon show. And one of the reasons, really maybe the main reason that I've had them buried and saying they're not going to end up winning the division and might not end up making the playoffs. Going back 18 years since 2000, 51 teams began the month of May with 17 or more losses. Only one made the playoffs. One. The 2001 Oakland A's. They start 8-17. They end the season on a 59-17 tear. They finish with 102 wins. What's this team going to finish it with right now? What do you, realistically, maybe 90, 91, maybe? I'm sorry. I what you've seen with the Red Sox the last couple of nights, this is what they are. This has now been like a down year for them. I think that may be premature for some of you, but to me, no. I'm not coming off on what I've said about them for a while now. I have not believed in this team since the beginning. This horrible start that they got off to, the bullpen has been a mess, and this is what they deserve for going into this year and not really addressing it and not having an actual closer. I mean, please, this Cleveland Indians team. And now you have to go into New York and try to take three out of four, or try to sweep that team? Please. No, I don't like them. And the other thing, too, is as well as they have played prior to the last couple of weeks, since April 19th, the Red Sox they're 23-14. Okay, so you can maybe make the argument they have been playing better, 6.22 winning percentage. In that time, they've lost a half game in the standings in five games to the Yankees in the loss column. They're just treading water. I just don't think that they're very good. I really don't. We'll get further information on the Red Sox, how they can fix this bullpen, perhaps. Maybe there's something they can do here. Some of the things have been thrown around here. I hear the midday show talking about maybe dangling Michael Chavis, who's obviously been such a factor to this offense since they brought him up. Do you maybe try to go and grovel to Craig Kimbrell? Do you maybe even offer up Rafael Devers? Or do you just look at it and say, hey, this is what it is. It's going to be a down year for us, and you know, we'll play that wild card game. We've never had to do that before. We'll take our chances from there. But it does feel like something has to give with that bullpen. We'll get further more information on that, what the Red Sox can try to do to fix that bullpen, with Jared Carrabas of Barstool Sports. He, obviously, a very passionate fan of the team. He will join us next here on the Baseball Reporters on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
3-1, head in the air to deep left, it is high, it is far, it is gone. It's Gleyber Day. A two-run home run off the bat of Gleyber Torres. And there he is, the Gleyber of the month. And the Yankees now take a 7-0 lead.
Boy, he really is an ass. It's John Sterling with yet another ridiculous call. The Yankees get the 7-0 win over the San Diego Padres yesterday in the Bronx. I guess you could say he's galaboring the point. Boo, Jim. Shame on me for even trying that. It's Jim Murray in for Tony Maz tonight on the Baseball Reporters. Red Sox and Yankees were supposed to start up a four-game series in New York tonight, but game one with Chris Sale on the mound has been rained out. But I do want to get some further intel on what's going on with the Red Sox and how to deal with that bullpen, maybe fix it, with my cousin Jared. Jared Carrabas of Barstool Sports joins me here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. And Jared comes to us tonight because that game is rained out, and I appreciate you taking the time.
But yeah, it is for sure rained out, and honestly, it's a blessing. I did not want to be there tonight. I didn't want to be in the crowd that night. I didn't want to watch the Red Sox play tonight. I'm a little unhappy with the local nine.
Yeah, both of these teams right now, Jared, the Red Sox and the Yankees, seem to be going in pretty opposite directions as of late. Obviously, a very frustrating series they just had with Cleveland, who I was just talking about how, to me, they kind of like breathe life back into that team. I've been reading articles recently how they could probably be sellers because they're not going to catch Minnesota. But now, at least in terms of the wild card, they could factor in. But be that as it may, the Red Sox had a suck series with them. The Yankees have won, I think it's 8 straight series, so they've been hot for a month despite all their injuries. But specifically, looking at these two losses to Cleveland the last couple of nights, the bullpen, you know it's a mess, but what's the fix? I mean, do you just put Nathan Eovaldi in there and he's your closer when he's healthy?
Yeah, no, I'm not putting Eovaldi in there. I do think that they need to add an arm or two. But yeah, I mean, like, perspective is important when you kind of look at these games. I mean, you know, you get Weber and Taylor and all these other dudes, like, show of hands, how many people knew who these guys were before the season started? Nobody. So, you know, you have to look at the bright side. They still scored 9 runs. They averaged 9 runs a game in a series that they lost to the Indians. So pitching has obviously been an issue. And, you know, especially yesterday, there wasn't one guy who appeared in that game that you would trust in any type of situation. So, yeah, I would say you need to go out and do something. And Kimbrel's obviously not the answer. You're not going to pay Kimbrel. You're not going to give him what he wants. But there are a few options in Shane Green, Detroit Tigers closer. You know, he's easily in the league in saves right now. Sean Doolittle, the Nationals bullpen, if they continue to fall out of it in the East. There's ways that you can sort of fix it. And then obviously, Durbin Feltman, he's an internal solution. That would be another guy where it's like, you know, you still need to go out and get a closer at some point, probably. But then you also need to supplement beyond just the ninth inning, because these options that they've been trotting out there are not suitable. You've got three guys and then a bunch of non-trustworthy options. Not even just suitable options would be nice. But that's really been the issue. And they're still scoring a ton of runs. They can still hit the ball, and they're going to get better. Like, JD Martinez has been hurt. I mean, his back has been in shambles, and he's still out there hitting doubles, hitting homers. But yeah, that's really been the issue is, you know, you kind of look at this bullpen and the options that they have, and I don't need Travis Lakins out there throwing 16 to 25 pitches out of the strike zone when you're trying to get a crucial, three outs in the ninth inning to prevent a situation where the Red Sox had a 99.4% chance to win that game, and then they end up losing, which is ridiculous.
Again, talking to Jared Carabas, Barstool Sports, and those that follow you on Twitter, Jared, know you're constantly changing like the list of relievers you actually trust. Who's on that? Who's on that latest list of yours? Is it just like one name, if any?
No, I've got Matt Barnes on. Okay. Matt Barnes is on the list. Marcus Walden is on probation. And who am I forgetting? Who's the third one? It's not Brazier. Oh, Brandon Workman. He's been outstanding. So Brandon Workman's on the list. Matt Barnes is on the list. Marcus Walden is on the list, but he's on probation.
Talk to me about the Yankees. You know, you obviously have to deal with it in the Barstool offices down there. You're living in that city. You're having to deal with Eric Hubbs, Yankee fan extraordinaire. How have they been able to do this with all these injuries and the pitching issues that they've had, at least earlier in the season? I mean, they're 30-10 in their last 40. Again, they've won 8 straight series. Is it just because of depth? Has it been a managerial change in terms of how Aaron Boone has handled things there? What have you seen, and what have you had to deal with living in that city?
Yeah, no, it's brutal living here, regardless of the baseball team. This city stinks, literally. What I've seen from the Yankees is, you know, of course they've had their fair share of injuries, almost an unprecedented amount. But the greatest lie ever told was that the Yankees are somehow at this great disadvantage and they've lost all these guys and now they have no chance and they're the little engine that could. Like, that's just not true. It's just not true. I mean, you've got guys in that lineup that are still mashing the baseball everywhere, like Gio Urshela taking over for Miguel Andujar, who's out for the year. He's better than Miguel Andujar. So you basically replace Miguel Andujar with a better defender who's also hitting .330 with a 9-something OPS. You know, Didi's out, but then you slide Gleyber Torres over to shortstop, and he's an all-star second baseman now playing shortstop for you. At second base, you have a stopgap guy, DJ LeMahieu. He's won a batting title. You know, that guy's out there. Luke Voit, I mean, he was the hero last year. He's out there, you know, mashing home runs in place of Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge. They still have thump in that lineup. Gary Sanchez was awful last year. He's hitting the ball all over the place this year. So the guys that have been healthy, it's not like that's our AAA team that's out there winning baseball games. No, it's still on paper, even with all the injuries, the Yankees are still, talent-wise, better than a majority of the teams that they've been playing. You know, I tip my cap to them because they've handled their business against good teams, and they've handled their business against bad teams. They're just beating everybody. Like you mentioned, the 8 straight series wins, that's the first time the Yankees have done that since 1998, and that team won the World Series. And they're on the same pace that the Red Sox were last year when they won 108 games. This Yankee team's good, but this idea that they're the little engine that could is just, that's BS. They're very talented. They have a lot of depth. They've been able to absorb the blows that they've taken in the rotation with Severino, because a guy like Domingo Herman has been outstanding this year. Tanaka's missed a consistency. Jay Happ hasn't been all that great, but they've gotten contributions from it, and their bullpen's lights out. You know, that's huge. When you have a great bullpen, you don't need guys like Jay Happ giving you 6-7 innings and 3 earned runs. They've definitely benefited from roster construction and organizational depth, and guys who have gotten a chance to step up actually doing so. That's been their formula to success.
So considering all that and how they've withstood all those injuries and everything they've dealt with the first couple of months here, I saw today that this is the first time the Red Sox have been behind them, behind New York, by 7.5 games or more since 98. So have you, as positive a fan as you can be in covering this team, have you given up on the division, or you still think there's hope of them winning it?
No, I haven't given up on the division, but I mean, I wrote after the game last night that the Yankees could step on the Red Sox throat in this series. You know, if they, well, now we have the rainouts, so that's going to be made up. But if there was a potential 4-game sweep and you're looking at 11.5 games, then yeah, that's a pretty daunting task to overcome a deficit like that, even with, you know, 2/3 of the season remaining, because the Yankees just aren't losing games. They're not losing series. And then they're going to get better when they get guys back like Stanton and Severino and Didi and all those other dudes. I haven't given up on the division, because I think the Red Sox have had their injuries too. You know, Nathan Eovaldi, that makes a huge difference. Like, when you have a rotation of Sale, Price, Porcello, Rodriguez, and then it's like Hector Velasquez or Weber or whoever, like, you need a guy like Eovaldi to be like, all right, every day we have a starter that gives us a chance to win. And if you have a chance to win, then the offense, they're going to bail you out more often than not if you don't have the most ideal start from one of your five guys. I haven't given up on the division, but it's, you know, this is one of those series where it's going to swing one way or the other.
One of the things I saw going into this is that Cora tweaked the lineup a little bit and Mookie Betts was going to be leading off. Benintendi dropped down to second, which I like, because I think Benintendi's been way too inconsistent, like, overall anyway, but I don't like him leading off. Where have you been with that this year?
Yeah, I mean, it was worth a shot, and I think I like the logic behind it being that, you know, more often than not in these days, you're going to see the best, most well-rounded hitter hitting second. And I think that Joe Maddon was one of the first guys to do that with his lineup. It used to be, oh, your best hitter hits cleanup. And then it's like, well, you need the best hitter to be hitting third. Like, Adrian Gonzalez is hitting third. And then now you have Mookie Betts hitting second. Like, all these other guys, like Aaron Judge was hitting second. But Mookie thrived in the leadoff spot last year. I like the logic, because obviously Andrew Benintendi is hitting around 250, but his on-base percentage is like 360-something. So if the leadoff guy, I want that, you know, 360 to 400 on-base percentage, and Benintendi, despite the streakiness in terms of getting hits, was still getting on base a ton. So I didn't hate it. But, you know, if you look back to last year, the Red Sox were setting the table and having the most success when it was flip-flopped, when Mookie Betts was leading off. And I like, you know, the logic was there. You want guys on base for Mookie because he was hitting a ton of home runs like last year. And, you know, he's hitting balls in the gap. And these are all balls that theoretically Andrew Benintendi can score on because he has wheels himself. Well, if it's not working out, then it's time to go back to what was working, because you don't have the benefit of tinkering with things when you're 7.5 games back.
One thing quickly before I let you go, Jared, with what happened in the game between the Cubs and the Astros last night in Houston with a little girl getting hit by the foul ball. She has to go to the hospital. Thankfully, she's okay. But where are you on the Nets?
I think anyone who complains about Nets is a little baby, because, I've sat in those seats, and you can't even – you honestly have to – it's like someone when someone points out an annoying noise that you didn't hear before, and it's like, oh, thanks for pointing it out. Like, now I can hear it. It's the same thing with the Nets. Like, you can sit behind the Nets, and if someone's like, oh, man, like, can you believe they put those nets up? And you're like, oh, I didn't even realize that they were there. It's one of those things. Like, get over it. It's a net. You can see through it. There's holes in it. It's not a big deal. It's for your safety. And to avoid situations like what happened last night.
Yeah, it's wispy. It's almost like fishing wire, almost. Like, I feel like I've sat there, too, and it's like, I don't know. It doesn't really bother me.
Yeah, they act like they're putting up, like, these, like, big black screens that you can't see through.
Yeah, well, people just love bitching about nonsense. Case in point, mm-hmm. The Barstool towels at last night's Bruins game. So you well know. All right, Jared Carrabas, Barstool Sports. Always good talking to you. Thanks for taking the time tonight. What with the rainout? And, of course, read his stuff at barstoolsports.com. Thanks, Jared.
Thank you for having me.
And Jared comes to us via the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. If you want to join the show, 617-779-0985 to talk about the last couple of nights' losses to the Cleveland Indians. Again, absolutely horrid. Like, it just, And the bullpen is an issue. Doesn't sound like Jared wants Nathan Eovaldi to be one of the solutions there. At the very least, it feels like they're going to have to do something. Maybe a trade. Maybe you sell high on Michael Chavis. I'd like to know how you feel about that. But something has to be done with that bullpen. But another thing I do want to touch on, it was the big story in baseball from last night, you anti-net idiots. In Houston last night, in a game between the Astros and Cubs, we were just mentioning, a little girl nearly killed by a foul ball. And to me, it's proof yet again. It's time for the Nets, from foul pole to foul pole. It's time, throughout Major League Baseball. They do it somewhere else where they play baseball. I'll talk about that and that story after the Sports Hub headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter's Tony Maserata show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Just the way life is. As soon as I hit it, the first person I locked eyes on was her. So that's what, yeah. With God willing, I'll be able to have a relationship with this little girl for the rest of my life. But just prayers right now, and that's all I really can control. I'm speechless. I'm at loss of words. Being a father, two boys, I want to put a net around the whole stadium. But yeah, man, I don't know. I'm sorry. Puts life into perspective, kind of. We get upset. We don't hit. We make errors. Like I was, how I was upset I didn't make that play. And it's kind of life just, you know, put things in perspective.
That's Cubs outfielder Albert Amora Jr. And I play that, a man who sounds like he's broken and could likely suffer from PTSD. And no, I don't think that's hyperbolic, because he hit a line drive in the fourth inning last night in a game against the Astros in Houston. Into the field level stands, down the third baseline, and it hits a little girl, and it nearly kills her, and she has to go to the hospital. Now, thankfully, she's fine, but we've had too many of these stories lately. It's the Baseball Reporter's 98.5, the Sports Hub. Jim Murray in for Tony Maz, who had to bounce early tonight. You anti-net idiots, do you want that? Do you want to hear broken baseball players after a game sounding shattered talking about that? And do you need to see a death in the stands to finally come around and say, oh, you know what? Hey, you were right. In the name of safety, we should actually have nets from foul pole to foul pole. Oh, but I can't see. It's bothering me. No, it's not. You just are a whiny pain in the ass. It's not a big deal. If you've never sat behind them, they're not a big deal. It's like fishing wire. It's not, like Jared Carabas, Barstool Sports, in the previous segment, talked to him. He said it perfectly. Unless someone really points it out to you and you're sitting there, it's not going to bug you. But otherwise, when you're sitting there, you don't really notice it. Trust me, I've sat there. You don't notice it at Fenway. But it should extend down all the way to the other foul pole, like they do in Japan. They do this in Japan. They take these precautions. They try to save lives. And I'm not typically this guy. I'm not the finger-wagging Nana. But this I will. Because there's been too many of these stories lately. Hell, we had one here in recent years. I don't understand it. This is one of these things that's just like, I try to practice common sense in pretty much every aspect of my life. And it's one of the things I like talking about. One of the reasons I love doing this job is to try to like preach common sense to certain athletes or stories that we're talking about on a day-to-day basis. This is common sense. We should have the Nets foul pole to foul pole. You're just a hardo if you're against them. Like, oh, I'll be able to, I always pay attention. No, you don't. It's 2019. Everyone's looking at their phones. And if you're bringing your kids, they probably have an iPad in their hands because they're bored silly at a baseball game. They're not paying attention. You are not Spider-Man. You don't have those kind of reflexes. You can't stop it. Even if you're walking with, say you're trying to be the nice friend and you're bringing beers back to your buddies. And you, what are you going to just drop all the beers? No, you don't have the reflexes like that. The netting should go foul pole to foul pole. They do it in other parts of the world. We should do it here. I don't understand why there's been such a reluctance to do so, because you keep getting stories like this where this girl's taken to a hospital. And from all accounts, from what I've read, she's okay, thankfully. But a little kid like that getting a baseball like 100 miles an hour off their noggin, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So the one thing that's good that's come from this near 24 hours later is that Major League Baseball apparently said today they're going to examine their policy on protective netting at stadiums going forward after this girl was hit. Because this is ridiculous. And it always does seem like it's someone, like it's a little kid or something like that. Like, to watch this and to hear that dude talking to Albert Amora last night, you watch it, if you happen to watch it on ESPN or NBC Sports, right? It's tough to watch. And that's just the dude that inadvertently hit the girl by hitting the ball. Like, you know, this guy seems like a broken man talking about this. So how could you, I don't know. At this point, like, I get it. We live in a world where people just want to, we're outrage enthusiasts, especially online. And people just want to be mad about nonsense because that's the way the world is now. But this, if you're a baseball fan, just using common sense, why would you be against the Nets from foul pole to foul pole? I don't know. Like, that to me, it just seems like so basic because you're still bringing in a lot of little kids to sit there that are barely paying attention, or you have someone that's, you know, elderly and they don't have the reflexes they once did just for the safety of fans. And I know what it says on the back of the ticket. They should just do this. It makes all the sense in the world. I want to go to Polly in the truck, who wants to talk about the Red Sox, their last couple of losses here to the Cleveland Indians. And again, in case you weren't listening earlier, tonight's game against the Yankees, rained out, will be made up in August, but Chris Sale's still going to make his start when they start up this series tomorrow. Hey, Polly. Hello.
Did you hear me?
Yes, hello. Hello, no, hello, Paul. Hey, Paul. No, I guess he wasn't listening at all. Okay, with that, we have one more segment to go here. Did want to give you a heads up here that Maz, even though he wasn't here, he does have your DraftKings play of the night. You want to get some money on a cheap play tonight? He left a couple of notes here for me to give to you there and give you the Big Y matchup as well. Even though tonight's game is rained out, there is a matchup you should pay attention to for Chris Sale against one particular member of the New York Yankees as this will get underway. Again, this now three-game series for this weekend that will begin in the Bronx tomorrow. We'll do that next here on the Baseball Report. It's 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How about Steve Pierce?
This is why the Red Sox won't get Steve Pierce.
The MVP of the series? Plus 2,200. Steve Pierce is my long shot pick.
Steve Pierce, it's my pleasure to present to you the Willie Mays World Series Most Valuable Player Trophy.
This is the DraftKings Fantasy Pick of the Night with Maz.
No. Well, it's kind of from Maz. He left it for me. It's Jim Murray in for Tony Maserati tonight. Boy, let me tell you, I've said this before when I've made my angry Periscope videos driving in during the traffic. This is where the money is really made here. For the most part, very lucky. Feel like I hit a scratch ticket that was for like $1 million with this job. But filling in on the baseball show, this is the real work. I don't know how he does it every night. Either way, before Maz left, he did give me his DraftKings pick of the night. For those of you looking for a good play, that's not going to cost you too much. And Maz does pretty well with these. I will give you that in just a moment. It is brought to you by DraftKings. Play free fantasy baseball this season with promo code BOSTON when you make your first deposit on DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy baseball. That is code BOSTON. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. So he let me know that you should be looking at the Minnesota Twins' Marwin Gonzalez, lefty, bats lefty. You can pick him up tonight for $3,100 on DraftKings. You can play him at either third base or outfield against Charlie Morton, a righty. They were former teammates in Tampa Bay, so there's obviously some knowledge there. So that is his recommendation tonight. Marwin Gonzalez of the Minnesota Twins. So plug him in for $3,100. And also, I want to give you the Big Y matchup of the night. The Big Y matchup of the night presented by Big Y World Class Markets, serving Big Y is serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. Obviously, tonight's game rained out. It's going to be made up as part of a doubleheader in the Bronx on August 3rd. But Chris Sale is still going to make his start tomorrow in New York against the Yankees. And despite all the success recently for the Yankees, again, 30-10 in their last 40, and they just beat San Diego yesterday, 7-0. Sale, excellent against Gary Sanchez in particular. Sanchez, in his career against Chris Sale, 3-for-20, hitting .150, and has struck out 8 times. So Chris Sale against Gary Sanchez is the Big Y matchup, which I'm sure will be repeated when we're on the road in St. Louis tomorrow night. I do want to thank this guy that just tweeted me. In the last segment, I was talking about, you know, how I'm pro-net. And really, I don't know how you couldn't be pro-net after what happened in Houston last night with the little girl having to get taken to the hospital after she struck with a line drive by one of the Cubs players. And so, once again, Major League Baseball avoids a tragedy. I was saying in the prior segment, and shame on me, what do you people want? You anti-net hardos. Do you want a death? There's been one! There's been a death. Shame on me. I should have known this. For someone who feels so strongly about being pro-net, I should know that there was a death last year. How did I not know this? A Dodger fan struck and killed. Her name was, and I'm reading from Tony Reale of Around the Horn on ESPN. Her name was Linda Goldblum, 79-year-old gal, celebrating her birthday and wedding anniversary at the game. It was not reported initially. Cameras never captured it. And a coroner said that she was killed by a foul ball, hit in the head by a batted ball at Dodger Stadium. So there you go. You have your precedent. Someone has died from a foul ball. What do you want? And this is, as I said before, and we've talked about this subject way too much in recent years, because there's people having to go to the hospital and nearly dying, and there has been a death from a foul ball. How has this not been changed? I'm typically not this guy. Your personal vices, go nuts. You want to smoke, you want to drink, you want to do what you need to do to get by, do it in moderation. I'm all for that, man. But when your actions can affect others, specifically innocent bystanders, that's when you need to change those actions. Because otherwise, you're a selfish a-hole. In Major League Baseball, unless they change this and go foul pole to foul pole, they're a bunch of a-holes. Like, there's no, is it a money thing? They don't want to spend the money? This absolutely shouldn't happen. You as a parent, if you bring your kids to a baseball game, this should be the least of your worries. What you should be worrying about is how you're going to be paying out the keister for where you have to park, where you're going to pay to park, how much all the crap you need to buy inside the stadium to shut your kid up, the ice cream, the toys, the hat, all that stuff. That should be your worry. Not that you have to look out for a foul ball that is coming screaming at you because your kid's got his face down in said ice cream. Stupid. Put up the nets. I didn't know that. There had been a death. My God. Awful. But with that, there's really not a whole hell of a lot to talk about. What with the Red Sox not playing tonight, and I think I've exhausted my bitching about the last couple of losses to the Cleveland Indians. So let's yammer for a few minutes here while we get the time, Jones. It doesn't necessarily have to be baseball related, because here I am filling in, so what the hell. What will you be discussing tonight? The last night's ugly loss for the Bruins to the Blues? Hey, do you now think it's going to be a series, or what was your prediction in the first place? I'm sorry, I haven't really listened much.
I had Bruins in seven.
Same with me.
I had Bruins in seven. I've been shamed by Jimmy Stewart for taking the Bruins in the first place, and shame on me for even.
Yeah, Jones, what are you thinking?
I don't know.
What are you doing? What happened to you?
I went soft, apparently. I don't know. I had the Bruins in a sweep against Carolina. I had the Bruins in, I think I picked them every round, actually. I picked them round one and seven against Toronto. I picked him in five against Columbus. I picked him for a sweep in the Eastern Conference Final, and I picked him again. So, yeah, I don't know.
What happened?
All the good teams got knocked out. What do you mean what happened? I don't know. Other teams did your dirty work for you. So there's a bunch of crappy teams left, and you have an easy path to the final. I don't know. That's what happened. Enough. That's what happened.
I respect the Blues.
Do your job, Jones.
I respect the Blues a hell of a lot more after last night, because after the Bruins went up 2-1, I was starting to think, oh, my God, it's another kind of a fake team we're looking
at
here.
I agree 100%. It was 40 seconds later, yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay, we got another. And it was Nordstrom with like all day. Nordstrom with all day to like dangle through, not even dangle through. He could just eat his lunch, kick up his feet, watch a movie. I thought that too. And then the fact that St. Louis battled back and hit the crap out of the Bruins, I have more respect for them. I agree with that. By the way, I love all the momentum the Bruins got from that Torey Krug hit. I would say that was
And the 11 days off too. Yeah. That seemed to have helped.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, yeah, so that's something I actually want to get to. Why did the Bruins look tired last night?
I don't get it. And that, I found it almost borderline offensive, especially when, by the time they got to overtime, they all completely looked gassed. And I'm sorry, with guys that, like, well, a guy that is going to be the future of this team, and Charlie McAvoy, who's, what, 21 years old?
Yep.
I'm sorry. No excuse. Jesus, did I just sound say yep. sorry like Felger? Oh, my God.
That was a
the
hard...
The osmosis is actually taking over.
That was a hard sorry.
So, oh, my God. I didn't even mean that. But a guy that young and that talented should not look that gassed. And what is it? Oh, they just got too beaten up by St. Louis? Well, what the hell does that say for the rest of the series, then?
No.
You're porked. Yeah. Blues in six.
A little more, Jimmy. Blues in five, I think, is what you meant to say. But no, why are they tired? They just had 11 days off.
I know.
You just had the gift of all gifts, or 10 days off, or whatever it was, 11 days in between. You had the gift of all gifts. That was not a bad... People are acting like that was a bad thing. Like, oh, Bruins got dealt a bad hand. In this grind of the Stanley Cup Final, they had 11 days in between games. And then by game two, they're tired? Like that? That shouldn't be happening with this team. They're gassed. Oh, but Jones, you didn't play hockey. They were down a defenseman. They had to play with five defensemen. You don't know how exhausting that is. You never played the game. They shouldn't have been that tired. I'm with you on that. They had 11 days off. You should be able to make it through two games.
Yeah, that overtime I found obnoxious. Just quickly, while I was yelling about the Nets and that thing that happened in Houston last night, are you pro Net? I hope.
Yeah, no, I have no problem with Nets. Okay. I want to go to a game, and I want to be in my phone, and I want to be mostly because the product is boring. So I want to be in my phone. I want to drink my beers. If I bring my kid, I certainly don't want to have to be diving over and defending my kid. Like, I don't want to do that. I'll most likely sit on my couch and never leave my place and go to an actual game. But if I'm there, yeah, I don't want to be on high alert paying attention. Sit me behind some nice nets.
No, that might be the best point of all. Like, you're asking an impossibility to ask any fan, to me, to sit at a baseball game and pay attention the whole time. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Baseball's the worst. Like, I'm not gonna apologize to the baseball reporters, but baseball's the worst. I'm not gonna sit there and hang on every pitch. I'll get drilled in the temple with a bat. No, I'll sit behind the net. Thank you.
And so concludes the baseball reporters for tonight's show here on 98.5 Sports Hub. Adam Jones, Kristen Arkin coming your way next. That will do it for me. I will wrap up with the headlines with me.
Nice.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.